All right, everybody, this is the July 2020 Tennis Evolution Plus VIP call. We've got a packed house tonight. Love seeing everyone on here. We're going to dig right into some video footage. So what we're going to do is I'm going to read the question. This is from Amir. So here it is. My niece is 11-year-old lefty. She plays in the girls 12 USTA Eastern section. She's up and coming. Her parents asked me to help her because her first coach didn't really have much time for her. She likes to play aggressive all around. She also likes to come to the net. The two biggest issues are her forehand and her serve. And hey, if you want to play at the highest level, and this is me talking right now, you got to develop that serve and that forehand. So come to the right place. Those are my two best shots. I feel very confident helping you, Amir, on this. I told the parents that these should be developed so that they could fully take advantage of the lefty advantage, a la Nadal. I added that part there. She tries to hit a little more topspin now. Used to hit just flat. Her coach about a year ago had started her with a half service motion, but left it incomplete. So when she changed coaches last October, that coach really left it alone and didn't progress it. Her parents then asked me if I could help last February. It was a disaster. She was still playing USTA tournaments and was making 10 plus double faults per match. She really struggled in these matches because of her double faults, really hurt her confidence. So I took over, decided to make some adjustments. Her serve was such a mess with so many hitches. So I tried to make it a little more fluid and just had her go to continuous swing motion. It worked. You know, I'm old school. I'm not sure if you recall, but I emailed you a few months ago. I'm a close personal friend of Eric Tano, who, by the way, I played against on the tour. We grew up together in Jersey City, and I think he played you at the US Open qualifiers. Okay, so let's dig in here to these videos. Let's start watching and keep in mind that when I am teaching, you know, you might say, oh, this is an 11-year-old girl, doesn't pertain to me. That's not the case. The concepts that I'm teaching, I have found, are universal. They will work regardless of your level and your age. We just have to modify it depending on where you're at. So let me share the screen right now. And let's pull up Amir's niece right now. And let's start watching a little footage here. Okay. All right, backhand's pretty solid, but I see a couple things I would do if I was coaching her. So the first thing I want to point out, and we're going to see this in another player tonight when I show. First off, you see where she's standing. And by the way, if you don't have your, if you're not on mute, please mute right now if you can. But see how she's standing on the baseline? I prefer to have my players stand behind the baseline so they can move up to the ball. If you're playing a point, most of the time you're not going to be standing right on the baseline. So this positioning right here, in my opinion, is not a great habit. I'd like to see her about 2 to 3 feet behind the baseline. This is a common mistake that club players make as well. They stand too close to the baseline. So when she comes up to this ball, the first thing I want you to notice is watch what her hands do right there. I think that's going to be a problem long term. So most players, and I could pull up Djokovic, but it might take too much time. So I'm just going to move through these videos if we have time later. There are some players that take their hands up like this at the beginning on the backhand. Dennis Kudla does it. But if you study Djokovic, this is where I'm going to stand up. If you study Djokovic, when he makes his first move, the hands are down by his pocket and the racket tip is up. And this young lady is taking her hands up like this. So I see this a lot when people think they need to take a loop. They need to actually just keep the hands here and then they can drop the racket head like this. So whether you take the racket straight back like this or whether you have it it cocked up a little bit, that's not as important to me. It's keeping the hands here without raising them up like this young lady is doing. So I'd like to see her hands just set right here and then she can go to the ball. So that would simplify the backswing. I think this is going to cause her issues as she gets older because when the ball gets faster, it's harder to time. Again, there are players that do take the racket up like this and they make it work. But you can even see how she's taking the racket back and she's flipping it behind her like this. Again, that's going to cause her to be late. She can get away with it at 11, but probably not at 18. We'll see. But I would model more Djokovic here. The second thing that I want you to notice is when she swings, see how she's leaning in and this back arm is bent like this. This is what I had on the tour. This is why I struggled to break the top 100, because I was doing this on my backhand too much. So what I'd like to see this player do is actually, remember when I said stand 3 feet back? I want her deeper. When the ball bounces, then she can actually make contact. Well, a couple things. She either needs to move up to this ball and make contact right there. So right in her strike zone. This ball got too high on her and it didn't need to. Or she can actually stand back a few feet and let the ball drop a little bit and let it get in her zone. And then when she swings, I want to see her, she's a lefty, so I got to do it this way. I want to see her right arm straight at the end, like this, a la Robert Lansdorp. If you're right-handed, the left arm is straight. She's going like this. So we want to see this move right here. I just worked on it with a player today virtually out in California. We were doing a Zoom call, and she has a tendency to go like this. So what I teach is when you're done, see how I'm on my side still and see my head position? All of you, not all of you, actually, I'm going to say all of you, most of you, 99% of you are swinging and moving your head as you hit the ball too much. So one of the biggest tips I can give you, and I'll probably tell you this every single month until you get it, is look at my head position when I'm done. You see how my head, my chin is on my hitting, not my hitting side shoulder. It's on my back shoulder here. I guess you could call it the hitting side shoulder. So if I'm a lefty, I'm going to finish like this. Too many players are leaning in like this. It's all head position. So if you can fix your head position, you can fix your backhand and your forehand. See how I have a little curve here when I'm standing up like this? Most players are doing this. That is one of the biggest fundamental keys I fix with every player I work with, and it makes their game go like this. If there's nothing else you learn from me, if you just do that and practice that every day, I believe your game is going to improve. Now, you don't have to finish with the racket out in front. You can actually finish at the end. But whether you keep your back foot back, so I'm going to back up here. If I keep my back foot back like this, okay, or if I bring the leg around, I still need to keep my chin on my shoulder here and not go here. Again, picture Roger Federer. When he swings, he's like this, right? That's what you all have to do a lot better job of. So those are two big things. Hands lower at the beginning. Three big things. She should be further back to let the ball drop, or she needs to get up to the ball and take it on the rise. That's number one. Her hands should be lower. And number two, she has to get a straighter left arm if she's right-handed, the back arm here, okay? Those would be the things I would attack for the next 30 days and then come back to me. And even if all three don't improve, at least one of them can improve. Now, imagine that. I've been talking for about 5 minutes about her backhand. We haven't even gotten to the serve and the forehand. This is the type of detail that I want you to keep learning and be aware of. This is going to fast track your results. You will improve so much faster if you can work on that one concept I just talked about. See, this ball right here wasn't as high. But watch, again, her hands are high right there. This girl could have a great backhand, but you can see how her head is tilted forward. That's a problem. We need to change that, and she can have a world-class backhand. Let's see if we can find some forehands. These look like a backhand video, so we're good there. We're going to come. Let's see what this video is. More forehands, more backhands, it looks like. So let's look at this when she moves a little bit here. Good. That was a lower ball, so she can handle that. But again, what I want you to see is high hands, and then her head leans right there. And now she has to manipulate the racket. Because she's leaning in, she has to manipulate the racket. That's going to cause her a lot of trouble. The position should look more like this. Whew. Whew. Straight left arm. In her case, straight on, right arm. She nails that ball though. Yeah, she's leaning. Gosh, this girl could have a great world-class backhand. All right, let's move to the next video. Let's see if I can find her forehand and serve, and then we'll get into, we'll move on right to the next video here. Okay, forehand here. Oh, no, this is more backhands. I thought I was going to see forehands. Here we go. Okay, so let's look at the forehand here. All right. So hard to tell what grip that is. Okay. So here's what I want you to see here. Right there, that's trouble right there. That's trouble right there. So a couple things that are happening here. And this is fun for me to demo. When she's getting ready, so watch the difference. So I like to teach where this off arm goes up like this. And you can see how my racket tip is kind of pointed this direction, like this. If I turn sideways, it looks like this. What she's doing is she's going out with the hand, so the wrist is cocked up. So I call lightning bolts like this. The wrist is cocked up, and then you're gonna see this arm drop, and then this racket is laying open like this the wrong way. So it needs to stay here, and then it can drop down, but hers is opening like this. So I would reverse this. I'd reverse engineer this where the tip of the racket looks more like this, okay, instead of flipping back like this. So her first move on both her forehand and backhand could be improved. And a girl like this, that's this talented, in a week or two, she could look like a different player. So you can see right there how it lays back. That's going to be a problem. Okay. At 11, she can get away with it, but even at 11, it's going to be tough. If you could please mute your phone or your laptop, that'd be awesome. Now, what I like about this swing is, again, she's got power. She hits through the ball. That's great extension. Now, here's what I would work on with this player. I like how she goes up. Can't tell what grip it is, but I'd like to see for her, I'd like to see the hand turn. If you've studied my videos, I'd like to see the hand turn a little bit earlier. She's a little bit like this, and then she turns it at the end. I call it a delayed hand turn. I see this a lot with players. Right there, she turns it over. So I'd like to see the hand right there should be turning. It should look like, if you study Nadal, you're pointing like this. If you have the right grip, she's like this, and then she turns it. She turns it a little bit late. Okay, so that's what I would do with her. I'd work on her first move and try to keep the tip of the racket, keep from doing this. I'd try to keep the off arm up. So you'll see right here. See how the off arm drops right there? It's down here. It's down here. And then I would work on turning the hand. You don't work on all three things at the same time. I would just pick one thing at a time. So if you go out and video your forehand and your backhand, you want to pick one thing technically to work on over time. Let's see if we can get to the serve. We're going to look at the serve here. Okay. So if you've been following me for any length of time, you know I love a nice shoulder turn, a nice hip turn at the beginning. That's not happening here. We're going to see more examples of that tonight. So the first thing this young lady, I want her to do is I want her to work on her shoulder turn. Okay, but even before that, actually, is we got to check that grip. We're going to see numerous examples tonight of players who I believe are not in a true continental grip. Their grip is a little more towards the forehand side. And I promise I'm going to come over to questions. I see there's questions. But I don't think she's in a forehand. I don't think she's in a continental grip. She's got to get into a continental grip. I'm going to show you all some drills tonight. I'll put them in the members area. They're new drills that I've made. But she can work on that. And then the second, notice how she's tossing the ball and she moves her back foot. So she moves her back foot up. So there's not going to be a chance to coil. And then her, I call it, it's almost like a reverse shoulder turn. This shoulder is still to the left of her right shoulder. She's not turning. Now let's contrast that with my serve. Okay. So let me pull up my serve here. So you can see the difference. And we have a number of examples tonight. Let's see. There we go. All right, so here's my serve as a righty. So look at this. Look at my stance. Okay, you can see the back foot staggered. Look at my first move. Always look at, here's the key. Always look at what you're doing when you release the ball. Are you turning yet? Is the racket face closed? This is very different look. So all I want this player to do is change, I mean, not all, but change the stance and work on getting this position. So now you might say, well, Jeff, how do we do that? Forget about a full motion, okay? Forget about starting in a full motion and start in a half motion. Okay, start in a, and this is every player I work with, I start in a half motion until I get some of these moves to improve. But you start right here and you teach your shoulders to turn with the first move. And this can make a huge difference if you're in the serve for a long-term play. If you're in it for that, you got to work on this right here at the beginning. Now, not every pro player does this. You'll see players stagger their turn, but I like to at least create a template. If this player is not going to turn as early, I'll show you another example. This is a student that I'm currently working with live in Colorado. Okay, so let's look at the difference. He has what I call a delayed shoulder turn, but again, notice his stance. All right, so notice his stance, how different it is. Okay, and then when we start the video, he does not turn right away. So you can see, look what he's doing when he releases the ball. It's not that much different than hers. So, okay, fine. It's not that different, but his racket's a little bit higher. The tossing arm is a little more parallel to the baseline and his stance is completely different. So what I would start with is get this stance to change. Okay. And then when he tosses the ball up, listen, he does find a turn. Does she find a turn? I would say she doesn't find her turn. So everything needs to change until that happens. Another common thing I see is she's bringing her back foot up and then the toss is too high. So see how long, look how long it takes for her to get her racket to what we would call a trophy position, which is right there. So now this is the peak of her toss. We see this a lot, Maria Sharapova syndrome right here. That ball is dropping, what, 4 feet? No bueno. No bueno, okay? If you look at my serve, we'll see how much it drops. I find my trophy position like Federer quickly. So you want to work on finding your trophy position quick. This ball is barely going to drop. It's going to drop about 12 to 18 inches. So I say 18 inches is good. Most people, the toss drops too much. So that really sets the tone for moving on to the next concept. I want to stay on the serve, okay? And I want to help Anant out tonight. Let me come back actually to some questions. So okay, Anant, Jeff, if the ball has a lot of spin and is coming high, should we still prepare the racket at waist level on the backhand? That's a great question. So you can all see me, I think. Yep. So if the ball comes high, great question. So here's the thing. If the ball comes high, then yes, you can take your hands up. But again, think about if it comes high, you're probably going to make contact at the shoulder. So if it does, you probably will bring your hands to about here. You won't bring them all the way up here like the young lady was. So yes, the hands will go up higher if the ball is higher. Great, great point. But it's not going to be as high as what she's presenting. There are cases of a few players that do take it up high. I just get concerned when I see that because it's a bigger swing. It can get more complicated. What about the legs? I don't know what the question is about the legs. I know it was a while ago. Should she turn her hand throughout contact? Yeah, I think she should work on turning her hand sooner on her forehand. She doesn't have to. I mean, there's a few forehands out there that conventional high finish like this, but generally I like to teach the hand turn with especially all these kids today to learn how that feel on the forehand. Should the extension and pointing same side of the body? I don't know. I don't understand that question. We stopped sharing. We got it. What goes on between the first move and the contact point? So first move and the contact point, let's get back to that. So what happens between the first move and the contact point? Well, first off, again, I'm going to say most of you are not making a good first move to start with. So just focus on that. So let's consider this the first move right here. Now your arm can be straighter than mine, but from here, from the first move, you've got to find trophy position. That's how it works. That's your first move. You find trophy position. If I pull up Sampras's is more complicated than mine. I had Federer's, but I don't know where it went. I got to do it again. But let's watch his first move. Look at what he releases the ball. You're not going to be as extreme as this, but look at his first move. And then from here, it takes him a little longer to find trophy. But basically, you know, you want to be somewhere in here. That's too extreme, but that's why I like to show my example because I'm not as extreme as the best server of all time. Most of you are not going to be able to find Sampras's position. So you just get that racket to the trophy. So Anant, we're going to work with you a little bit here. So first thing I want to tell you, Anant, I really appreciate, obviously, you sending the video in. You said you're committed to changing the serve. Here's what I want you to do. If you're committed to this process with me, for the next 30 days, I want you to simplify and I want you to back up with your progressions. You're going too fast. Might not be what you want to hear, but I want you to slow this process down. I'm going to show you a couple things here. First off, when you toss the ball, I don't see a lot of turn. So I want you to study my half serve drill that I just showed. Basically, what's happening is you're already, so right there, you're good. Okay. But if you compare it to mine, my hand, let's see if we can go back. This is very, very important. I'm going to find the half serve drill here. So I want you to study this religiously, okay, this beginning part this month and see if you can improve it. Okay, so right there. So let's look at the difference. Your racket's a little bit more like this. Mine's a little bit up like this. So that's one little change. My elbow is a little bit more to the right of my body. Yours is a little bit more behind. Okay. Now, when you go to get ready, notice, okay, let's fast forward to my, let's see if we can get an example of what I do when I hit the ball. Okay, that's it. There's my example. All right, here we go. Okay. So let's look at the difference here. Notice how you're kind of turning by moving your hand, but I'm going to turn by moving my shoulders. So I feel like you're kind of cheating by you basically turned your shoulders before you've released the ball. See how where your tossing arm is and you've already turned. But if we look at the same position, when I'm starting to release the ball, I haven't turned as much as you. So you need to kind of hold your turn. And as you toss it, then you should feel the turn. Now you toss the ball up. right here, I want you to see the difference here. See how you're moving your back foot? I would practice without moving the back foot. I would try to keep the back foot totally solid. Right there, solid. Don't move the back foot. Now, I don't know if you, honestly or not, I don't know if you have a continental grip. So that's when you said I'm not able to drop the racket, watch when I go to serve here. You can see my hand is below my elbow there. But I don't think you have a continental grip, and that's preventing the racket from dropping. So I can see right now moving this back foot up and not having a continental grip is hurting your ability to drop the racket. Now, I also want you to notice, look at my ball position right here. It's just outside my shoulder. Look at your ball position when you hit the ball. You're out here. So you've got to get your arm to go up here more instead of out to the side. So that's another thing to consider. But what I would do all month is I would work on finding the continental grip and not moving my back foot. I'm getting ahead of myself with some of the other cues. Now I'm going to show you a player that has is going in the process of going through a transformation with her serve. So I'm going to try to find her video here. Here it is. Okay, so she sent this to me months ago, but she used to have a forehand grip, and she is training herself to serve like a pro. She's committed to this process, but notice her racket position compared to yours. So right there, you're saluting a little bit more, her racket's up a little bit more. Now watch, when she tosses the ball, look at her racket position when she tosses the ball compared to you. So she's still holding her racket on the right side, but then as she tosses it, then she finds her turn. Is it perfect? No, but she's getting there. Now watch when she goes to swing. Let's watch the difference here. See, right there is when you open that racket face. And I think this is what you were talking about, Anat. Your grip, if we just got to get that grip over for continental. But also look at her position. Because her back foot stays back, she's got more of a bowing, kind of an arching, and you're kind of straight up and down. So we've got to change this position with your back foot. Now watch when she hits the ball. Watch this. This is the key to serving right here. One of the big keys. I want you all to get this. When she goes to serve, watch how she starts to rotate, but then she stops right there. So when she's making contact, her chest is facing towards this net post. I'm working on this every day with players. This drill right here. So simple, dirty, kind of the dirty diaper concept. When you're hitting the ball, you actually have a pretty good tilt. But you're jumping, you're leaving the ground, you're using your legs. She's not using her legs. She's not even bending. She's bending a little bit there. And then when she finishes her back foot, she's finishing on the right side of her body. She's still staying sideways and she can tap the back foot. I was doing this today with a 14-year-old virtually. We're working on her serve to get her to feel this position right here. And Anat, this is what I would do. Okay, and like I said, there's other drills you can do, but we've got to change the back foot. You got to model this right here, and it just releases, and then you have balance, and you tap the back foot, and you finish on the right side, and you learn the swing path of up and over, and you get that continental grip. Now, I've got lessons that I pulled up that I want to show, so let me unshare real quick here. The hardest thing to do is to change this grip on the serve, and I'll get to your questions in a moment. It is so difficult, so I feel for you, but it can be done. You just have to do certain progressions. So I'm going to pull up these drills here to show you. Okay, so coming back to you all with the screen. Okay. I'm gonna get these in the members area, but I have five videos on grip and swing path. Now this one there's a thing called a Smart Right Grip Trainer. You can see this white thing. You put it on your grip and it teaches you to hold the continental grip correctly so it doesn't move. And so I see a lot of players still struggling with this concept. I got another one called hitting on edge. A knot, you should do this drill where you hit on edge and you learn that concept. This one will really help you. Serving over a fence right here. So you have to learn this swing path, which I just showed Christy doing. You have to work on that. These are the progressions. If you truly want to change your serve, forget about hitting the ball over the net right now. Okay, this drill is continental grip plus swing path. So I'm teaching the swing path right here. And this is another great drill I want you to do, Anant. Anybody that's struggling with changing their technique, they should watch these five videos. So I'm going to come back. I'm going to see what's going on here. What goes on? See, I'm trying to switch from a forehand grip. It's been a real struggle. So any tips would be appreciated. Yeah, I just sent you those. I'm going to get those five drills in the members area. And I gave you the tips. I want you to model what Christy did. Remember, Christy had a forehand grip more extreme than you. So she can do it. You can do it. It's just going to take some time and some diligence. And you got to get that extreme continental grip almost towards backhand. And you almost have to swing and work on hitting with the edge like this instead of opening up like this. Now, with your body, to get that racket to drop, we've got to open up your thoracic spine. So we've got to do drills to open up your thoracic. And I've got exercises that can help with that as well. So we'll make sure we get that in the members area. It's a bonus in some of my courses, but I don't know if you're a gold member, if you have access. So I'll make sure that happens. So I got to get you body connection. And I got to get you the serve drills. Okay, let's move on. This is flying by and we have so many people to help. Your advice is for the kick serve, correct? No, this is actually to learn a proper serve. So it's for a topspin serve. It's to learn how to hit topspin so that you can actually hit topspin on your first serve as well. Are you keeping your strings pointed to the ground through entire motion, face closed, for all slice topspin serves? Also, is the tip ahead of your hand? All right, so I don't know exactly what you mean by tip ahead of the hand, but let's go look at my serve again. Let's handle that. So what I think I'm going to do tonight, I'll see if I can go a little bit longer, and then if we run out of time, I'll tack on a bonus call to make sure you guys get your questions answered. So the question was around, see if I'm sharing. I need to share. Okay, here we go. Chat. All right. So are you keeping your strings pointed to the ground through the entire motion, faces closed for all slice, topspin, serve? Also, is the tip ahead of your hand? So strings facing to the ground. So with me, if you look, the strings right here are not facing towards the ground. They're actually facing, the strings that'll make contact are facing towards the net here. Still towards the net. I mean, I guess you could say it's down towards the ground, but down towards the ground, the way I would interpret that is it's more like this, which again, if you have a forehand grip, it's gonna look more like that. If you have a continental grip, it immediately, see what just happened? It immediately turns towards the net. So the grip is huge. Do not underestimate getting into the right grip. And most people think they're in a continental grip and they're not. Christy, who I just mentioned, said multiple coaches told her she was in a continental. She comes to me and I said, that's not a continental. It's a forehand grip. Now, it's not an extreme forehand grip, but it's more like an Eastern forehand grip. It's not continental. So racket strings, you can see towards the net. And then right here. Okay, right here, I would still call this racket face closed. So this is closed, and then right there, it starts to open. Starts to open there. But that's just a natural byproduct of the technique being efficient. But it all starts with the right grip, the right stance, and the right first move. I feel when the ball is more above your head, that helps to get the continental grip. If you throw the ball far from your head, it's easier to hit with a forehand grip. Yeah, exactly. The more you toss the ball over your head, you can learn what I call the circular swing path. See, most of us, when we learn to play the game, we see the service box, we want to play, we want to get it in, so we push the serve towards the target. But it's actually counterintuitive. You want to be swinging over your head and making a circle over your head to learn a proper serve. It's probably the hardest thing in sport to do, is to learn how to serve correctly. Matei, if you send in a serve video, I'll help you, man. Like, send it in and I'll tell you what to do. What should you study first? I wouldn't worry about a kick serve. I mean, if it kicks, great. But what I would study is the dirty diaper. This, what I showed you, get that swing path where you finish on the right side of your body. Okay. Thanks, Jeff. Very helpful. Hitting ball over the fence drill may be hard in San Francisco. Also, what was the name of the continental grip trainer? It's called the Smart Right Trainer. Look at on court, off court. And yes, it could be hard, but there's still ways to do it. You don't have to hit it over the fence. You could still almost like pop it up towards the fence without hitting it over the fence. So there's definitely things you can do. All right, you can tell I get so into this that I forget the tech part. I just want to teach. So that's a forehand grip. That's a waiter tray right there. And there's no turn. So listen, I'm going to say the caveat again. Changing your serve is very difficult. It takes time. It takes rewiring. It takes doing monotonous, boring drills. It's not for everyone. With that being said, there is a structure and there is a plan. And the structure and the plan does not involve going out and hitting serves over the net into the service box. It involves doing the opposite, serving into a fence, serving over a fence, serving from your knees, doing these crazy drills to unlearn the bad habits. And again, I never tell someone they have to change, but if you have this vision of, you know what, I'm going to be playing this game for the next 30 years, why not just learn how to serve like the pros and have everybody marvel at how it looks? I use Christy as an example because, you know, she's a couple years into this. It hasn't been easy, but she's getting it now. And now she sees the light at the end of the tunnel. She wrote me a message. I just want to read a message that she sent me just to give you, because again, this is a couple years in the making here. Could she have made faster progress? Maybe. She said, so first of all, I have a vision for her. I see that she can do it. But I said, I'm glad I'm not the only one with that vision. I'm telling you, I have the whole match in my head that I see over and over. It's going to become a reality. And then she sent something else. See if I can see it. She said, this is going to be fun. I'm on my way to the courts now and have few meetings after, but I will send you thoughts later today. Looking forward to it and looking forward to sending you my serve. I've never felt so good walking up to the line to serve before. Yes, there's so much more to do, but crazy how far I've come. Now, she's 100% invested in the process of changing her grip and modeling. She wants to serve like a pro. That's it. That's her thing. She wants that. It's not for everyone. But I want you to know there is a pathway. And we want to start with those drills that I showed earlier. Okay, so let's go. I'm going to go back here. I was showing Juan. And again, I would want him to basically do the Christy drill, right? And just work on that. And yes, you can serve over the net, but you have to change the whole configuration here. The other thing I want to point out is Juan is hitting serves. And what he's doing, it's almost like rapid fire. He's hitting a serve. And he's taking the ball out. He's hitting a serve. You want to be a lot more methodical. You want to focus more on slowing down, getting the right muscle memory, and really focusing on that concept. Okay, there's another serve in here I want to show, and then we'll move on to some other concepts tonight. Let's see here. That was Juan. We got Nant. Okay, Warren. Okay, we're going to look at Warren now. So Warren's a lefty, my fellow lefty, I know I show a lot of stuff righty now just to help people out. Warren's a lefty. He's improved a ton in membership. He sent me a nice testimonial, so I appreciate it, Warren. Thank you. So committed that he's serving in the rain. I think he's over in England, but watch this. Setting up nicely for the serve. Okay. Sharing my screen, good. This is a forehand grip as well, right? That's a forehand grip. It looks like it might be continental, but that's a forehand grip without the first move again. Are you seeing a theme here? That without a with a forehand grip, the hand will not drop. Notice how the back foot moves up just like the young lady earlier. So there's not going to be as much turn. My whole thing is let's get in a good stance. Let's get in the correct grip. And let's get that shoulder turn at the beginning of the motion. And then we can work on the rest of the serve. I mean, there's a lot of stuff that looks good right here. I mean, we can get him to reach up a little more. It could be better. But there's something there. It's just, are you willing to change the grip? That's the question. All right. That was a serve fest. We are going to move on. So I want to get to Amy now. I'm going to pull up Amy's video. Amy's also been with us for a few months. She sent a video in for her forehand return or forehand. So what we want to talk about here, let's look at what's going on here. I'm going to point out a couple of things. So Amy is very new to the sport. Just keep that in mind. Okay, so here's what I see. And if you can't hear me at any time, let me know, and I'll come back. Someone can unmute and say, "Hey, we can't hear you." Okay, so what I want you to see here is I don't know if this is a ground stroke, maybe it is, or return. I think it's a ground stroke. But what I want you to see is her first move. So when she goes to swing, Amy, when you swing, you're drop stepping right here. See how you're going backwards? So you're going back, and then you're going forward. I say, why not start back one more step? So why not move back one step from here, and then all of your momentum can go forward into the ball. I call it a step shuffle hit. Now, I think I did this for Yasar. We have forehand bonus videos in the member area. Look in the bonus section. I'll see if I can pull that up for you. But I'd like to see if you don't – listen, you have to back up if a player plays high and deep to you. But in this case, I don't think you need to take all of your body back like that in the beginning. And this is very common. I see this with players. You could just start back and come forward. Let's see if you do it again here. So this was a wider ball. That's pretty good. Nice little open stance. On this one, what I would do is right when you get to this, right here, try to stay down as you hit the ball. So you see how you lift and you get off of the ground right here? I would study my open stance footwork pattern. Again, it's in the bonuses. Study that and stay a little lower. Keep those knees bent as you hit the ball without straightening. Okay, let's watch another one. See how you kind of false step to step back? There's a way to move around this ball with inside out footwork where you shuffle around the ball without stepping back. Okay, I don't have time to show the footwork specifically tonight, but I'll make a note of going through it again on our next call. And I'll check the bonus area for the forehand videos. Now with your technique, so with your technique, you have classic where you take the racket straight back low. So my thought is, you know what? It could be tough to just kind of reinvent your forehand. So to start with the racket tip up in the beginning, like the pros do. If we were working together and we were talking about your journey, I might start you in this position to give you this feeling. But let me just tell you that taking your racket straight back like this, you still can have a great forehand. It's not like, it's not going to look like the pros, but this is an example, just like the serve, that's pretty major surgery to start up like this. I never want to discourage someone, but I always want to be honest that that could take some time. What I really like about your forehand, okay, the second thing, when you're taking the racket back, if you notice how your off arm, it kind of goes forward, we would want it to come across more so you get a better, a bigger turn with your upper body. But what I really like with your forehand is that I love your follow through. You're over the shoulder. I don't see a lot of club players this committed to their follow through over the shoulder. Now, what you could do is if you see your off arm right here in your midsection, you could actually, when you swing, instead of going like this and having this hand here, you could actually practice finishing and even catching the racket and letting this arm come with you. Even if you don't catch it, you could bring it through like this instead of kind of blocking here with your offhand. So I like to see players let that offhand. That's why I teach catching the racket. Hopefully you guys can see me. I can't see myself right now, but you catch the racket like this. But I just love your finish. Most players do not finish as well as you're finishing. So that's absolutely fantastic. I think you guys could see me there. I was demonstrating it. But let me see if there's any comments. Thanks, Jeff. Great tips. Should we be using left arm as spacing for serve and contact above as reference for extension? So I think you're getting ahead of yourself with extension with the left arm. Yes, it's great to get that tossing arm up. But again, we've got to get that first move and that grip correct. But yes, the left arm going up can help. I'm going to go back to Amy again. We're right on the hour. I'm going to go for a little bit longer here. If you have to go, I understand. So again, what I'd like to see is right there. See how the racket goes down? It would be nice, Amy, on the ball machine, if you could practice with the racket tip up like this and wait there before you drop it. You'll get more momentum, more natural power. You can play around with that if you want and send me a video for next month. You can work on that. But if you're like, you know what, Jeff, that's a little too hard. I'm biting off more. It gets me in my head. Then what I would do is I would work on seeing if you can pull this arm across a little bit more. And then when you finish, I try to let that off arm come with me and make it more of a connection between the arms at the end of the swing. Those would be the things I would work on in addition to not moving back on that initial move. See one more here. But a lot of potential here. You know, the follow through is just fantastic. Right here's an example of, again, kind of stepping back to step forward. There's a different way to move around that ball. I'd like to cover that at least next month, next month's lesson, if we can. Let's go to, we got Warren. Okay, Yasar has waited patiently. So let's handle you, Yasar. What I'm going to do, let me answer a couple more questions. And I think my ear pods are going to go out here. Let me answer a couple more questions, and then I'll get to you, Yasar. We're going to wrap up around 7:15 tonight. And just let me know if you all can still hear me. So let me open up. I'm going to ask these questions here. Yeah, I think I'm going to lose it here. So I'm hearing my... Just let me know if you can't hear me. Okay, Anand says, what about timing of dropping the off arm on the forehand? I find that I get a lot more power if I drop it sooner, but when I watch myself on video, it looks like I'm opening up too early. So obviously, Anand, you can send me, I hope I'm pronouncing your name right, you can send me a forehand video for next month, but I personally, Del Potro drops his arm. So he's like this, and then he drops his arm before he hits it. I don't like that. I like to keep the arm up, And then when you go to swing, then you can catch the racket. So the arm stays steady like this. When you talk about opening up, what I would work on again is keeping that head at contact, whether you're open stance or whether you're closed stance or neutral, keep that head here and you won't open up as much. What's happening is your head is flying. I haven't seen it yet, but your head is going here. That causes you to open up. I don't know why you're getting more power because you dropped the arm. I'm not sure why, but I would really work on trying to keep this arm up and then finishing with the hand catching the racket. Okay, let me answer some questions. So we got Juan Carlos. All right, so Juan Carlos says, I train every day for 3 hours. Wow, that's impressive. Wish I could do that again. Usually at 7, 8 a.m. alone, 1 p.m. or with a coach, 1 p.m. alone. I play matches with whoever's possible. When I train alone, I usually work on my serve and slice. I also try to do one basket for each stroke I practice alone. And I go to the gym. My first question is, how would you structure the training? How do you think it's best I implement your program? Second is, how do you get the best out of a coach? So the thing is, let me see if I have, don't know if I have more videos. I'd like to see more videos, Juan, but you know, when it comes to structuring training, what I would do is I would play a practice set, I'd get it recorded, and then I would start to go through what's working and what's not working, and then start to design drills around it. So if I do a practice set and I'm missing my forehand in the net from the middle of the court, then I'm going to work on that shot. I think we have to get really clear on what shots are working and what aren't working and then go practice them. Just hitting forehands cross court, I don't think it's the best use of time unless you're only on a ball machine. That's where you can work on your technique. But you want to start to understand which shots you're missing, and it's usually different than what you think. So Juan, if you want to send in a video of point play, I can break that down for you. Like I'm going to help Yasar in a moment here. And then how to get the best out of a coach. Well, hopefully you have a good coach and you can share with him what you want to work on and he knows what he's doing or she knows what they're doing. And then you can you know, have a plan, but that's you selecting a great coach. Jose says, I purchased a nice stringing machine, but only string twice a year. Have to relearn every time. Can you recommend a stringing video? I have no idea about strings. If I know everything there is about the serve or almost about the serve, I know just as little about string. I just never have gotten into string. So I am not the guy to ask. And I would probably just do a YouTube search for that. I play league tennis, but during matches, I get nervous and my serve suffers. How do you control your feelings to stay confident and relaxed? So obviously that's the million-dollar question. Oh, he saw me play in high school in the state final. It was inspiring. That's awesome. A long time ago. Thank you, Jose. In terms of the mental and the nerves, you know, that's a process. Got a course called The Winning Edge that has a lot of great ideas. But the most basic thing I could say is you want to regulate your breathing. You're going to get nervous if you care. You're going to get tight. You're going to mess up. Being able to accept your mistakes is very important. But regulating your breathing, taking deep breaths between points, accepting your mistakes, being okay with mistakes, not judging yourself, practicing staying more observant, more neutral. That's huge. Having a clear game plan and sticking to it and not doubting yourself. That's another big concept. And then the final one that I love is just self-talk, you know, being very, very clear with your self-talk. Most people, I mean, if you have 50,000 thoughts a day, 80% of them are said to be negative. So you have to rewire your mind and stop telling yourself you suck when you miss a forehand and tell yourself to get under the ball or to get more spin or to hit it deeper. You have to train your mind and your language patterns to improve. And then your subconscious mind will start to find more answers. So that's my quick answer to how to handle the nerves and stay confident. So Anant got his question handled. We got Amir's questions handled. We got Ross here. Nope, we're good with him. Okay, this is from Dana. She's a new member as well. She sent three questions in. We got a few questions here. Paul's iPhone. On the forehand, what do you think of putting index finger between 3 and 4 instead of complete semi? Okay, so One, two, three. Index finger between bevel 3 and 4. Oh, I see. Right there. That's an Eastern. That's Federer's grip. If you're between 3 and 4, you have Federer's grip. So I think that's great. Send in a video and I'll take a look at it. Danny says, which video analysis app would you recommend to record ourselves? Coach's Eye. You know, I think Coach's Eye is great. I've actually going to dig into Coach's Eye more this month, but I think any of them are good. I don't have a preference. iPhone, do you extend same length on return of serve like regular stroke with short backswing? Yeah, I love extension on the return for sure. You got to get that extension. Absolutely. Okay, let me go back to Dana. Split step. I definitely don't have a good feel for it, yet I try to stay light on my feet and keep them moving. I never know if I'm doing it right at all. Any advice on how to get on the right track? So would love to see, Dana, you split stepping and timing the split to the ball. The thing that I teach is I like to have a player feel like they're off of the ground when their opponent makes contact. So you're not trying to time the split step where you hit the ground when they hit the ball. You actually want to be up in the air and right at your peak so that when the ball is hit and you come down, you can push off and move. So my guess is the timing of the split step is wrong, which reminds me when I was watching Amy, I
might be a little late. So I would focus. Okay. I think we lost me here.
Okay. So split step, you're going to be in the air when the ball is struck. And then as soon as you come down, you want to make a move. You want to move somewhere. I call it split and move. Instead of a split step, I call it a split and move. That's in my baseline footworks course. So I would go to baseline footwork and I'd watch my split and move lesson. But most people either split late, they don't split at all, or when they do split, they just split and stop, and then they have to start back up again. So you want to split and move, split and move, split and take one step in the direction of where you're going to go to the ball. I hope that helps a little bit. Without seeing it, it's hard, but that's what I teach on that. Forehand strike zone. My natural forehand strike zone seems to be on the low side, which, by the way, that's common for club players. And I think it's causing me to let the ball drop too much before hitting it. Interestingly, I tend to hit the ball higher on the backhand side. Any advice on how to hit the ball a little bit earlier? So I think what we need to look at, Dana, is what happens when you do hit it earlier. You said it's better when the ball is dropping. So honestly, we have to see what happens when you get the ball earlier, if you can. But what I try to do is you can even record your forehand and watch. I see this with a client I've worked with in the past. The ball is dropping as it comes to him. You've got to work, get your feet up to the ball and really pay attention to hitting the ball at its peak and not letting it drop. And you really have to, when you do it, you have to either say yes or no, or you know, strike a keyword like strike zone. But really focus on the ball and be aware of if it's dropping or not. It's really just an awareness of the ball dropping or not and giving yourself that feedback. If you send in a video, I'll be able to help you more. Forehand consistency. My forehand is probably my favorite and best shot, but it's also the most inconsistent. When I get into a good rhythm, everything's great and I love tennis, but I can fall apart very quickly. I might be thinking too much about all the different stances, spin, flat, I get jammed. Or hit off my back foot, all sorts of stuff. What's the most important element to focus on? So the key here with the consistency on the forehand, one is your self-talk. So when it falls apart very quickly, I would change that language to something like, hey, I'm missing more forehands today, but right now I'm going to focus on keeping my head at contact, or I'm going to focus on hitting the ball 3 feet over the net. As soon as it falls apart, you want to avoid saying that. Okay. Don't give so much meaning to it falling apart and try to be more objective. And then the second thing is become aware of where you're missing it. Are you missing in the net? Are you missing wide? Are you missing long? Usually when I ask that question, players are not aware. They don't know how they're missing their forehand or their shot. So that's very important to know how you are missing your forehand and have an awareness. You know, I know when I was playing, I missed more backhands long and I missed more forehands in the net. So I had to commit when I was nervous to, hey, I am clearing the net on my forehand no matter what. The girl that I was working with today, the woman that I was working with today, she's a college player. went out to the courts today. She's the one student that I've been working with consistently for the last decade. She's from Denver. She was missing backhands early in the set, in the net, missed a couple. And I just said to her, hey, clear the net on all your backhands. I didn't say don't miss in the net. I said, clear the net or hit the ball higher. Give yourself a positive directive of what you're going to do. And then your mind and your body can start to follow. So be aware of where you're missing, watch your self-talk. And then I would just be really aware of how high you're hitting the ball over the net and give yourself those gauges, higher, lower. You can also focus on your finish. If you have a good follow through with good balance, you're going to hit your forehand well. So I hope I can see your forehand next month, Dana. If you could send it in, I can definitely help you out. All right, Yasar, you've waited patiently. We're going to finish with you. We're going to look at the tiebreaker. I'm going to give you some cool tips tonight. And what we'll do also is, we can finish more of your videos next time around. So this is a tiebreaker. Okay, so what I want you to do, and by the way, when the tips that I'm giving you all, these are the same tips I give people on the court. It's not like I'm just making this stuff up like randomly. It is the same stuff that has worked for the last decade plus that I've coached, and also 11 years on the pro tour where I was so confused for so many years, but I started putting together patterns and a methodology even when I was playing on the tour, and that allowed me to transition into coaching and be a good coach right away because I had really tested this with myself and then I tested with players. So this stuff really works. If you commit to your self-talk, if you commit to changing the way you look at the game, you can improve so much faster than everyone else. So with that being said, Yasar, I want this toss. I would love to see you more here. Now, this could be a technical thing, but it could also be a physical thing. You may have a tight lat. I don't know this. If your lat is tight right here, then you might be here when you serve. So there's a drill that you can do up against the fence, and I'm going to make a note of filming this for you. Film against the where you can really, basically, you're going to get into this position, and you're going to reach up more above your shoulder more. So that's on your serve, one little thing I see there. Again, we'll have a recording of this call. So there are things that you can work on your serve. There's no question about it, okay? You could keep the racket face a little more closed, but here's the thing. There are things that are going to help you be a better player faster than changing your serve. But I know that there's work to do there. It looks like you might have more of a forehand grip, not true forehand, but the continental grip might not be exactly where we want it. Just something to pay attention to. Now, once the point starts, let's look at this. So what I would like to see right here, so I want you to notice, if we were to study Federer and he would have come around this ball, he'd come around it. Notice how you kind of backed up a little bit, but the ball actually lands right here. Federer would have circled around this ball and been about 3 to 4 feet into the court, hitting an approach shot on this shot. So I think you can get around it and actually get on this foot right here, not turning sideways, semi-open, but pushing off of this foot more and getting more weight behind that shot. And you could have gone offense on this guy for the first shot. All right. So that's one thing I noticed is moving around that ball and actually moving up to it. That was pretty good. That one right there, same thing. I'd like to see you. It's that inside out footwork where you get here, but then you could push off of your left foot more and kick this leg back. I think I put the inside out footwork in the bonus section. If I didn't, let me get that for you. Your swing looks good. I like your follow through. Okay, the backhand, a little bit on the tight side, could be a little bit looser, but you're doing a good job of getting it back deep. Okay, nice outside hop there with your legs, good. There's a shot coming up here I'm going to show you because I watched this before. That was great. So I want you guys to notice this. Yasar does a great job of staying open on a lot of his forehands. When he comes here, watch how he lifts his inside leg. See that? Yasar, you could actually practice jumping a little more. You could actually push off your leg and get some height. Study the outside hop footwork pattern. That's going to make your ball heavier. The hand turn there, by the way, is world class. That is awesome hand turn right there. Nice job. But you could push off and leave the ground there. That was a heavy ball. This could have been a switch pattern. I hope you have access to the switch pattern. If you don't, let me know. But you could be loading, you're an athletic guy. You could load this leg, jump in the air, and rotate your body so that you're not just swinging with your arm there. So that should be a switch pattern. Okay, here's your forehand. Now, this is kind of a mistake that you're making here when you attack the net. You have two choices here. This is probably the most important shot in the rally that I would work on improving. The other stuff is important, and I would review it. But when you come around this ball here, first of all, I'd probably take a backhand if I'm going to attack. Because you look where you have to go. You have to go all the way to the alley almost to hit that forehand. When if you would have hit a backhand, then your body would have been here. So now you're in the middle of the court to cover the volley. So I always say you can run around your backhand to hit forehands when you're back here. But as soon as you attack the net, you should probably hit backhand approach shots from this position. Now, with that being said, you've committed. You've hit the forehand. Other pros do it as well. What I would do here is I would go inside out on this ball every time. If the player is in the middle of the court, I'd go inside out. If the player is over here in the corner, you can go inside in. But he's standing in the middle, and you go inside in right here, and you're a dead duck. It's over. All he has to do is run over and just flip a cross court ball right here. Now, yes, can we help you with your volley there? But in my opinion, you lost the point by choosing to hit a forehand. And then once you chose to hit a forehand, you went to the wrong spot. If you go inside out here, you might think, oh my gosh, Jeff, if I go inside out, now I got to run over and cover the line. That is true. But that's where he's going to go, and you can just run over there. But the problem is you can't cover this ball right here, the angle. You can run. You can go here and you go to his backhand. If he has a weaker backhand, I don't know if this guy has a weaker backhand, you just cover the line and hit a cross court volley. And that's going to help you. I want you to start when you're in this part of the court, I want you to attack inside out with your forehand approach if you take a forehand. That's a big tip right there that I help a lot of elite players with, and it'll help you. Good job. That could have been a switch pattern. So again, your swing looks really nice. You could have done a switch pattern where you rotate your body. Yasar, I think the switch pattern, when I've seen you play, is one of the biggest things that's going to help your game from the baseline. Really exploding on that switch pattern and hitting a heavier ball back. I think that's going to be great for you, especially if you play guys that push it or hit a higher ball. This could have been a switch pattern right here. That's two now. So I've seen three in 2 points. And you got the air. Good job. This is the kind of footage, if you all send me this footage, I can do this for you. That's a great forehand. Look at that. You got the air. So let's see that forehand again. Oh, I know what I want to say about that. I want to make a comment about this. This is for all of you that play singles. So I want you to notice, great hand turn. I want you to notice, where does this ball land? Right at him down the middle with pace, with spin and pace. A lot of players try to go cross court. They try to go down the line. You went right here and gave him no angle, and he dumped it in the net. Whenever I see a player do that, I say, oh, wow, maybe we need to go to what I call the deuce cage or the ad cage. The ad cage is this area right here. Okay, the deuce cage is this area right here. This ball went in the deuce cage, and you handcuffed him. I would do that a lot more if I saw a guy flub a ball in the net like that. That would be an automatic for me. Okay, there's your runaround forehand. You could get a little more on your front foot and kick the right leg back. So your inside out footwork and your switch pattern are going to be huge for your game, Yasar. Nice ball to the ad cage. Okay, so watch this. You hit a great ball. This is really important. You had a great ball to the cage. Now you got a short ball to attack. Let's see what you do here. Okay, so now you have an approach shot. You do a little lift and land, but honestly, I think it would have been easier. See how the ball was dropping? I would have probably done a run through here. So if you study the run through footwork pattern in the Transition Footwork Secrets course, that's what you do there. Now you might say, Jeff, I'm in the middle of the court. Why a run through? Only because you're coming from this part of the court. So you're actually running across the court. Imagine if you were standing in the middle and the ball came here, you'd be running across the court and I'd teach a run through. Now you're running across the court. You should do the run through where you hit this ball off your outside leg. Now you still could make this off your front foot. It's not wrong, but I'd like to see more of a buggy whip there. So you do a modified buggy there, but I'd like to see the racket higher on the right side like this. And here, watch where you hit it. You went into the net cross court. So now he's going to have a forehand. I probably would have gone again into the backhand corner to make him pass. I would have gone forehand inside out and then back to the backhand. If you decide you want to go to the forehand, you've got to create more angle. You can't just go deep cross court right here. You got to create more angle. But my first choice would have been, let's send it into the backhand corner and see if he can pass you. So we've watched 4 or 5 points now, and twice I think you should have attacked to his backhand with your approach shot with your forehand side. Switch pattern, inside out footwork pattern, attack with your forehand to the backhand side more. And then add cage, go through the middle with your forehand more. Let's watch one more point and then we're gonna wrap it up. Got an hour and a half tonight, extra long call. Good job, you got the ball right there. See this ball right here? Should have gone inside out. You serve, unless this guy's backhand's way better, you can tell me, but that's gonna go inside out off your front foot, off of your left foot. I see an opportunity here, Yasar, to really make a jump with these things I'm talking about. That's a great hand turn there. But I probably would have liked to see you go down the line sooner to the backhand. See, that's a great ball. That, I like that one right there. Go inside out here. Okay, great. Now, this is one where the ball was dropping, right? So you didn't recognize it. Again, he hits this ball, you should be coming up to that ball and hitting an approach shot inside out right here with the lift and land footwork pattern. You just didn't recognize it. Now, if the ball drops like this, again, use a buggy whip, buggy whip blueprint course. It's a mastery course, but I can throw some lessons into the gold membership. You want to go here with your racket on that ball when it drops, and then you'll clear the net. All right, we'll finish the tiebreaker next month. He has a really good slice, which I have trouble with. Okay, so then use your buggy whip off the slice. The buggy whip off the slice is a game changer. That's going to be huge for you. Loosen up the body if it goes south, Danny says. I know I switched gears. More important than loosening the body, I would loosen the hand. So get the hand to loosen up. Where do we learn about the switch pattern? I will put that in the, make sure it's in the bonus section or not, and we will let you know when we send this recording out. The switch pattern is awesome if you're comfortable jumping. He has a really good slice, Yasar. Then you're going to use the buggy whip off the slice. That's going to be a game changer when you see that. Should you use slice against a slice? Yes, you can slice against a slice, but if you're thinking about elite level and the next level, what if you could rip a forehand off of their slice? If you can do that, then you're going to get the advantage. But yes, you should slice off a slice, but you don't want to feel like, oh my gosh, that's all I can do. You want that buggy whip. Buggy whip off the slice, and you're going to be a better player. Okay, we're an hour and 28 minutes into it. You all were awesome tonight. The questions were amazing. This recording was amazing. Thank you for those that reminded me I need to share the screen when I get carried away. I got to go drink some water and eat some dinner. Please send in your videos and your questions. This is so productive. And if you have a chance, rewatch the recordings, especially if I did one of your videos, so that you can remind yourself of what to do. We went deep on the serve tonight. We went deep on the forehand, backhand. Strategy and match play. Lots of great stuff. You guys are awesome. I'll see you in August. Stay safe. Get better in the next 30 days. Treat it like a mini sprint. Next time I see Jeff, I'm going to be a better player, and this is what I'm going to work on. Keep it real simple. Pick 1, 2, 3 things. Real simple. Stay with it all month. and we'll see you at the next call. Yes, Danny, you can email the vids. See you later. Bye.